This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
They're going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, take a breath, Atlanta. We're going to have a game three here. Atlanta United moves on to the final leg of the postseason against Inter Miami. They win 2-1 over the visiting team. What a thrilling soccer game. Actually, I hear Rob Valentino already, so let's go ahead and set it downstairs.
Take the shot.
The play developed relatively quick. It was pretty broken, if I remember correctly. Danny made a tackle, ball bounced him, and he was unselfish, made the pass to his teammate. Shunde touched and finished, so it was, for me, unselfish in terms of the transition moment to give to your teammate that's open, and he had one chance, and he put it away, so he was really clinical, and that's what we've been talking about, of like, you might only get a few, and you have to be really clinical, so, the way it goes down is just wild. I guess that's our story this year, or maybe every year, I don't know. We make things interesting, don't we?
Rob, I wouldn't say Atlanta United were necessarily sharp, but the game was sort of, that's how it played out. It was a game that was really tight. What do you think were the main advantages for Atlanta United tonight? Miami never really looked comfortable on the pitch anyway. What did you guys see beforehand and during the match that you knew that you could potentially get a result tonight?
Yeah, we were really intentional about how we did the week in terms of breaking down video of obviously some mistakes we made in the last game. Fatigue was a big factor, so rest obviously helps that, but it's not the only thing. So we looked at their patterns of play of what they do with, especially with the big guys. I did think we were a little bit, especially in the first half, sloppy and basic stuff, just connecting simple passes. So maybe that's a little bit of nerves or getting used to the pitch again. But I don't know. Just if I had to look at it really right now, you had to win the game. So anything you got to do to win the game, we did talk obviously tactics. That's important and all the things, but ultimately, at the end, it's having that belief and playing with intensity, and I feel like they showed it. They never gave up.
Rob, congratulations for the win. Is this the way you imagine the game? Scoring in the last minute of the game and making it through and making one more game?
No. you just don't know what the games are going to be, right? I've got so much respect for obviously the level of player that they have, the level of coach that they have. Tata's a fantastic coach, and so that the respect is through the roof for them, and they're so dangerous. So you just never know what kind of game you're going to get in terms of where their quality is going to come from and what you really have to shut down, because they can hurt you in different ways. So ultimately, as the game started to play out, I thought in what we could control, we did a pretty good job. We were composed. The goal happens, and then from there, they rebounded really well at halftime. So I know it's not the way I thought it would go, but I wouldn't take it any other way.
Coach, do me a favor. Sum up Derek Williams' entire game today, both sides. It felt like he was high quality on both sides.
Yeah, I think I've said this before, he's a quiet leader. So one, he leads by example, and then he's not the one that you always see shouting and screaming, but he organizes people. He's just composed. He's been very, very consistent. He's taking care of his body to keep himself healthy and on the pitch, and that's a really good thing for us. He's just an all-around good teammate. well, from what I see, he's a great teammate, and he's a pleasure to coach.
Hey, Coach, I actually wanted to ask about the rest of the defense, about the discipline y'all had, about not getting dropping so far back and letting Miami overwhelm you, but the bravery to hold the lines and take out cutback crosses and just be brave in those moments.
Yeah, they, like I said, we were really intentional about what we did this week with video, and in terms of, obviously, we changed the shape, and there's been players that are playing now that haven't played as many minutes as probably they would have liked, and they're, when their name was called, they were great in what they did. You got to repeat that. They are very intentional about what they do. They don't have to look at each other. They know where they're going to be, so we did a decent job of trying to contain that. The scoreline maybe tells us that, but it's not as comfortable sitting on the sideline watching it.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I wonder, you know, considering, you know, earlier this season or late in the season, I think there was like a 4% chance for you guys to get into the playoffs. You get in, you get to this point, you have Miami and Messi, one loss from elimination, you hear the crowd tonight. How much are you guys kind of embracing this idea of, you know, nothing to lose, and maybe playing the spoiler, being the underdog and taking out Messi potentially?
Yeah, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, because that's, the job's not done, right? But yeah, we've had that mentality for a long time. It's something that I feel is, maybe we were warranted to have those percentages and the probabilities, but I just have a belief that people can change that. The numbers, they help you to whatever, find predictions and maybe help Vegas in terms of their gambling odds and things like that, but the people end up changing that quickly. So I don't know. It's been a mentality that we've tried to adopt and kind of keep pushing forward. Like I said, the job's not done, but I'm really proud of what they've shown.
Yeah, Rob, what did you see happen on Miami's first goal? And what did Brad tell you happened? And I'm curious what the referees may have explained.
Yeah, I mean, no explanation from referees. From my angle, it looked like Redondo started to step into his direction. I didn't see any contact, and I think that there was. I have not had a conversation with Brad about it. That wasn't a significant thing to speak about with him. So yeah, it was. That's all I got to it, really, to be honest. I don't. If he didn't touch him, then probably not. I think that's the rule, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, Coach, congratulations.
That's Rob Valentino after the match. Atlanta United wins this one 2-1 over Inter Miami. Just an absolute stunner of a finish. And Johnny Silva is the hero in this one. He is going to be the man of the match. He comes on in the final moments of this game. He plays maybe 4 minutes. Just stoppage. But he's the hero. And sometimes that's all it takes. And it's the story of this team. Because I think one of the questions asked in there, 4% chance, I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know if you can actually put a number on it. But nobody expected this team to be here. Nobody expected this team to be in the postseason. Nobody expected this team to give Miami a shot. They've now beaten this team twice. They've gotten points against them 3 different times this season. And the one time they do lose, it's on the road, on their 3rd match, on the road in 6 days. You don't believe in this team yet? I don't know what you're watching. I have absolutely no idea what you are watching, because Atlanta United has fight. They have fought for Rob Valentino, and they are moving to the 3rd leg of this series with Inter Miami. Just a stunner of a finish. Atlanta United wins 2-1. Let's get into the statistical recap, because it is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional, hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. They win 2-1 on the scoreboard, but they lose to 45-55 in possession. They win the shots on goal 13-10. Shots on goal, 4-2. Total shots 13-10. XG 1.7-1. Just a fantastic game here from Atlanta United. Like I mentioned, John De Silva is going to be your man of the match. We are going to be moving on to the next leg of this one, and we're going to continue that discussion. Catch your breath, Atlanta. We got another match to play. This is the full-time report. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's what you hear in the background. Victory music because Atlanta United is moving on to the third leg of this best of three series with an Inter Miami. Woo-hoo-hoo. Take a breath, Atlanta. They win 2-1 over the record-setting, MLS record-setting Inter Miami squad. They scored 74 points in the regular season, but it does not matter because Atlanta United has forced a game three. Let's jump right into some highlights because they are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And we will jump right into the 15th minute because this is, it felt like Atlanta really started this game off on the front foot. They were dominating the ball, playing solely in the Miami half, but then after that it started to flip a little bit and it was back and forth there for a little bit. And around the 38th minute or so, it felt like Miami was picking up some possession. They were getting some shots off, but it still felt like Atlanta had been the better team to that point. But then in the 40th minute, there was some confusion. Brad Guzan gets interfered with a simple clearance, and then this happens.
Jordi Alba on the left wing swings this to the back post. Brad under it and makes the catch. Uh-oh, then Brad gives the ball away, trying to release it, and it's going to be tipped in for a goal. There's a foul plea for Atlanta, but it's going to be knocked in for a Miami goal on a sneak attack, very similar to the Jamal Traore goal against Toronto.
Yeah, this was absolute confusion. I was in the press box at this point, and I don't think anybody really knew what was going on at the time, but Rob Valentino was asked about it after the match. He didn't really have much of an explanation. He hadn't talked to Brad Guzan. I'm sure we'll hear more about that here. But look, the point is, David Martinez pops in the goal. They take an early lead, 1-0. And I was telling everybody, this stadium felt like a powder keg. Like it was about to explode. And then not soon after that, Ronald Hernandez picks up a yellow card. And that is what they go to the locker room. 1-0 deficit for Atlanta United. And then about 10 minutes into this second half, it felt like the energy had been sucked off of the pitch. Felt like a powder keg at first, but the goal killed it. They needed a spark, and they found one from an unlikely hero. Derek Williams uses his head to level the score.
It's over the head of Ronald Hernandez. It'll roll into the near touchline and be kept in play by Fortune. Over to Amador now, who will pitch from the left wing to the back post. Header! Score! This place is worse than bonkers. Atlanta United finds the equalizer with a half hour to play.
That was in the 58th minute. 1-1 is your score, and that goal marks the ninth goal of their last nine goals. Eight of them have come from a different player. Pedro Amador also getting an assist on this one. He might be one of Atlanta United's best players in this stretch run that they have been on since he has joined the team over the summer. And then it was back and forth. It felt like we were playing towards penalties. It felt like the momentum had shifted and go back and forth, and nobody could pick up a goal. They shoot one off the crossbar. Brad Guzan makes some fantastic saves, and then another unlikely hero comes off the bench in the 90th minute, and just 4 minutes later, Jean De Silva sends Atlanta to Miami.
Rios gets up under it to head it forward. Now it's loose in the middle, and it rolls to Rios. Rios passing to Moyamba. Ahead to Jean De Silva, top of the arc. Shot! Score! 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 With 30 seconds to play! What a team goal! And Jean De Silva gets his first goal of the playoffs with a minute to play. Atlanta United could be on the verge of going back to Fort Lauderdale. Can you believe it?
I can believe it. And Atlanta United wins this match 2-1 to force a third leg. Just a stunner of a game where I also want to mention this, that does add to that tally. 10 goals, the last 10 goals, 9 of them have been scored by a different player. And I know one thing that we've asked over the course of this season, who is going to step up and be the goal scorer? Well, they've shown us it's everybody. The only person who scored twice, Saba Ljubičanić. Very consistent with what we have been asking this team to do. Step up in the critical moments, win the shots, take those shots when you have an opportunity, and then convert those opportunities. They have 4 shots on goal today. They convert 2 of them. That's 50%. That's pretty darn good. That's pretty darn good. That's good enough to move on to this final leg in the postseason run. We have a chance. We have a chance, and that's all that Rob Valentino can ask for. And this final Atlanta United home match of the season is an absolute darling of a finish, a stunner of a game, fitting of this roller coaster of a season. And we will continue that discussion here on the other side. More discussion waiting on the voices of Atlanta United. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore, they will be joining us here in a moment. Derek Williams, Johnny Silva, also Rob Valentino. We have more audio to get to in the show. You got to hang out with me right here. Garrett Chapman on the Full-Time Report. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United wins this one 2-1 over Inter Miami, forcing that third leg of this best-of-3 series. And the goal scorer of the first one, Derek Williams, an unlikely hero. One of many unlikely heroes for this Atlanta United squad. He punches that first goal in. And Mike and Jason also caught up with him after the match. Let's send it downstairs.
Derek, take me through the goal, starting with Pedro putting the ball into you.
Yeah, so as soon as I seen it go wide and I seen it was Pedro, I thought, let me try to get in the box. I know his delivery is up there with one of the best I've seen, so I knew if I just get in the right spot, to be honest with you, I should have scored in the first half.
Yeah.
I think he was the one that crossed it. It was more of a stretch, but this time I was just happy I got full contact on it, and yeah, just happy I went in.
Just walk us through the work you guys had to do defensively with how fluid that Miami team is.
Yeah, you just constantly have to be switched on. You can't turn off for a second because you know how good they are. And I think first and second half we did that. I thought we limited them to very, very few chances. Their goal was a mistake. So yeah, really happy with everyone's performance tonight.
All right, give me your perspective now on the game-winning goal scored by Shonde. How did it look from your angle, and what was your immediate thought when that went in?
To be honest, I can't remember much. I think, was it Alexi played him in? Yeah.
And Rios before that.
Yeah, great finish. And then I was too tired to run all the way down there, so I kind of just had my hands in the air. Just like, yeah, it was a great feeling. I'm just happy that we can give the fans something to celebrate. I think the last 3 or 4 weeks have really been a massive boost to everyone in this club. We all know it was a difficult season, but I think this last 3 or 4 weeks we've more than made up for it, I think.
After the game, we talked about how Rob and his staff have really worked to bring this group together with you guys as well. How important have what they've brought to the table been in this run?
Massive. I said this before. I said, if you've seen this team in the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's a Rob Valentino team. It's a hard-working, roll your sleeves up and get stuck in. And I think we've been doing that, and yeah, we're doing it's going well.
All the pressure is going to be on them now next Saturday. They're the number one seed. They're the Supporters Shield winners. To get any added confidence knowing you're going in there really with nothing to lose, and you have the chance now to knock these guys out.
Yeah, 100%. I think I love being on underdog. I think we've been this underdog for the last 6 months, and it's given us energy, it's given us momentum, and yeah, we got no fear going down there now. We beat them there before, they beat us there. We know we are going to have to be top of our game if we want to beat them, so yeah, we're looking forward to it.
I think the 2 most impactful signings on the team this year, Pedro Amador and you both combined on the goal tonight. Congratulations, we'll see you in Miami.
Thank you very much, guys.
Nation though, Pedro Amador, he has 7 assists in his last 9 matches, and he has an assist in each of his last 4. He has been absolutely tremendous for this club. Unbelievable addition here for Atlanta United. He and Derek Williams, I mean, you mentioned it there, Mike. I mean, look, let's welcome in Mike Conti, Jason Longshore here to the Full-Time Report. They call this a Rob Valentino team over the last couple of matches. What do you say about that, Mike?
Well, you know, I think we're finally seeing what we thought was there kind of under the skin of this team and just had not seen it materialize yet. But I think Rob Valentino has finally pushed the toughness button, the mental toughness button for this team. And I think he's given them a lot of confidence. The Rob's managerial style, Jason, is, I think, a positive managerial style, but one that also demands accountability from his players. That's something that's very, very important to Rob, he wants to hold players accountable in film sessions and coaching moments, but in a positive teaching way. I really felt like if this team could get on a roll, sometimes all it takes is just winning one or two games in a row to get that self-belief. If you have a manager who is going to instill self-belief in you, it's going to come as soon as the results arrive, and that's what's happened. And I think right now you've got a team playing for its manager. And look, Rob now, I just added it up, 21 MLS matches since Rob took over this season, 7-7-7, okay? Over the last, just doing some quick math here, over the last 9 matches, he's 3-2-4. 3-2-4. That's 3 matches against Miami, the best team in the history of the league. That's road matches at Red Bulls in Philadelphia. That's a road match, which were a draw, even though it was a win, in a playoff game against Montreal. That's a road match in Orlando, a playoff team on decision day where you had to win and get help to get in. He's done he's done an incredible job, and I'm so pleased for him. And just in a brief moment with him downstairs, I think he's not thinking that the job is done. I think he believes that this team has more work to do, and that starts next Saturday night.
This team, since Leagues Cup, has gotten 7 results against teams in the Eastern Conference playoffs. 7. That's as many as anybody else in Major League Soccer. I'll disagree with something you said, Mike. I don't think Rob Valentino has gotten something out of this team that we thought was there all along. He's gotten things out of this team that I did not think were there. Mm. This team has changed its approach. This team has had to change its approach. And that's a credit to what Rob has done with this group. They have one designated player on the attacking side right now. Sabo Lobjanidze has been playing like one, but he's not. You have one. Miami has about 6, it feels like. You are trying to figure out how to get the best results you possibly can with less firepower than you had before. So you can't play in the same way. You've had to change the way that the team has played. He's had to try different things. He has found a team in this group that I didn't think was there. I didn't think this team could win games with defense. I didn't think this team could win games purely on the counter. I know people sometimes throw the word counter around in a lot of different ways. This team has had to suffer with less of the ball than they ever have in their history on a regular basis. It's down to what you have to work with. Pragmatic gets used as a negative term in soccer, and it shouldn't be. Pragmatic is actually a really big compliment, because you take what you have to work with and find a way to make it successful. Rob Valentino has done that, and the run that this team has been on is historic for this club in this way to do it now. I didn't think they could do it this way, and it's a credit to Rob and his staff. I think what Derek said about this being a Rob Valentino team is so accurate, and others said that downstairs as well. They have taken on the personality of their manager. They are playing for him, as Mike said, but they are playing like him. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing with what they have to work with.
And teams adopt the mantra of their manager, and that's just what happens. And they adopt that personality, and you start to see that personality down here on the pitch with Atlanta United. And what they have done over the last month or so, when I feel like we were ready, not we necessarily us, but many people were ready to bury this team after the first loss to Montreal about a month ago. And they lose on this pitch 2-1, and it felt like it was teetering. But then he was able to go down and get something else out of this squad. It was just an incredible finish to this match, to this the regular season, to get something out of it. And now, look, you've got the best team in MLS history on the brink. And we'll continue this discussion. We've got more to come. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore here with me on the Full-Time Report, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Your Atlanta United, 2-1 winners over Inter Miami. We'll send it back down to Fort Lauderdale, where we'll have a winner go home. This team just feels like they've had their backs against the wall for as long as I can remember, at least the last month. Some people say it was 4%. I think somebody said 4%, 14%, whatever the number is. This team continues to fight. And I do want to send this back downstairs. I caught up with Rob Valentino after the match. Let's listen to that conversation.
Rob Valentino joining me after this game. Coach, the fight in this team to rally back from another deficit like you did in this match. What have you learned about this team in this fight over the last month?
Yeah, we don't give up. That's why I've told them all at the start that you just never give in. You keep showing up, and they've been resilient. I said to him at halftime, like, Brad, pull this language, but we had to pull him along now. One mistake, and he lets it go, and he's won us games before. So this one's for that guy, man. He's been resilient all year long, and I'm just so proud of him. Like, it doesn't matter what this thing looks like. Win your last game at home, and now we go kick on and force another game in Miami.
10 of your last 10 goals, 9 of them have come from a different goal scorer. What does that say about your team?
This is a team effort. I told them this before the game. Like, it's together. We are doing this together. No one's going to pull it. No one else is going to do this from the outside. Everybody inside that locker room, it doesn't matter if you got one DP, two DPs, it's a team effort. Not one person wins a new game. So now it's about, yeah, offense might win you a game, but defense wins championships, and now we turn some things into hopefully a trophy.
Coach, win or go home next week. What's the message to the team?
Keep the resilience. Keep the fight. That being organized, being disciplined. Like, man, I'm just trying to soak up this moment right now, but I'll worry about that after I get in. So,
Coach, congratulations.
EA, that's been the message pretty consistently. It was a message that I saw on signage across the stadium. Guys, I don't know if you saw that too, but it was everywhere. That just seems to be the message across everything here today.
It's been an emotional journey for Rob, and I think you heard the emotion in his voice. He conceded to us that after the Red Bulls match last month, he thought he had coached his final match here in this stadium and was very emotional after that match. And here he gets at least one more. Now, there won't be any more this season. We'll see what happens in the offseason. But it's been a real emotional ride for Rob, and I am just so pleased for him. I don't think I can overstate how well-respected Rob Valentino is by everyone he has coached, whether it be here in Atlanta or in other soccer circles. And he told us after decision day when Atlanta United got the win and the combination of results that they needed, that he had, I think, 80 text messages within an hour from people all across the league. And I'm sure his phone is blowing up again tonight. So pleased for Rob. So pleased for the players who have benefited from him. And I'm glad that this run continues for at least one more match. He's done an incredible job.
He made a bold substitution late with bringing Sean De Silva in as well. And look, it's easy to highlight that with him scoring the winner, but that's a move at that moment in the 89th minute where it feels like the game is tilted in your own half. Miami has started to pin you in, and Jay Fortune had run himself into the ground. Do not forget Jay Fortune's tackle on Lionel Messi at the top of the 18. Just a little bit before that, he made a huge defensive play, was big all night, but he had nothing left. You bring on Silva because you didn't have another central midfielder in that spot who could come in, and you have to gamble. You have to gamble there, and you gamble on a guy in Silva who has battled a foot injury all season long, mm-hmm. has been in and out of the team, didn't even think he'd be back into the team this season with the injury that he's been battling, and you call on him in that moment. And he delivers for you. And there's been a lot of those kinds of moves, whether it's down in Fort Lauderdale last Friday, having to change things around on the fly, mm-hmm. and really getting a lot of it right. He's made big moves in big moments, and it's been really impressive to see him. We've talked about the team's personality becoming what Rob is as a person, but it's been those kinds of moves, those tactical changes. He's done some very interesting things with this group.
that have paid off and gotten results.
Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $12,000. Guys, you talk about leadership. I think immediately of Dax McCarty, and you guys caught up with him after the game. Let's listen to that.
Just another kind of ordinary night where you have Lionel Messi in your bag, huh?
Yeah. I said last night on CNN World Sport, I'm like, and the guy was like, how do you stop him? Pray that he has an off night. And then if that doesn't happen, it's obviously total team effort, right? It's not just down to one or two people. So obviously just fantastic performance from the guys. I thought everyone sacrificed a ton, all 11 guys on the field and the subs. When you play against a team as good as them, you have to suffer. I mean, that's the theme of how you're going to get results against them, is just you have to suffer, especially when they have the ball. And we did that, and we got our just rewards in the end.
How and why has the personality of this team changed over these past few weeks?
I think the term must-win game gets thrown around way too often in professional sports. For us, it happened with a month left in the season. And we dropped a few results we shouldn't have leading into those games. So then when it became, hey, like, we have no other choice but to win, I think we showed some character, and we showed some heart, and we showed some guts. And that doesn't always happen, especially after a frustrating season. I mean, no one's going to sit here in that locker room and sugarcoat anything. It wasn't the season that we all expected. But all that doesn't matter now. We got in, and we're flying right now. We're playing with confidence, and I mean, wow. I mean, that's the last home game I'm ever going to play in, and it's kind of indescribable, the feeling that I had out there.
I was going to ask you, when you were subbed off, did it enter into your head at any point that okay, could be it for you?
Okay. I need a therapist, because I've been an emotional wreck the last, like, month. I go into, like, I've gone into, like, every game the last four or five games thinking, if this is it, what are you going to feel? How are you going to feel after the game? Let's not think negatively. Let's think positively. We're going to keep this going. But when you get subbed out, when it's 1-1, and I mean, I think everyone is hoping at that point they had a little bit more of the ball in the last 15 minutes. Let's just get to penalties. Yeah. And when that happens, anything can happen. So I'm just, you know, I'm just riding the wave. It's just very emotional. I mean, the guys, they don't want me to retire yet. They want me to keep going because I'm so good in 5v2, so good in rondos. The young guys can't get enough of me. They just wanted to keep going.
You've been in these situations before where now the pressure flips. The pressure's all on Miami going into game three. How does that feel, and how do you guys take advantage of that?
Honestly, I think going into the series, the pressure has always been on them. Look, I don't know how many times I can compliment them on how great of a season that they've had and how great of a team that they have. That's reality. When you have World Cup winners and Champions League winners, guys that have played together at the highest level for a long time, the reality is that they're going to have probably more quality than you at any given moment in a game. And so it comes down to just grit. It comes down to guys having each other's backs. Listen, I mean, Brad Guzan, you feel for him on the first goal because, you know, I think he gets impeded. I think it's a foul. It doesn't get called. So, you know, on the outside, you can probably point your finger and say, well, that's Brad's fault. And on the inside, we say, absolutely not. The only reason we're here is because of him. So let's, you know, we said at halftime, someone step up. Someone help him out. He's bailed us out a million times this year. So let's step up and help him out. And we did that. I mean, Pedro Amador, incredible ball, and Derek Williams, what a finish. Sean De Silva. We have such good players on this team. The frustration when you don't play, I think, is high. But no one hangs their head. They come on. They get the job done. So what a way to finish the game.
Got one more for you. There are about 65,000 fans here tonight. I don't think too many of them were wearing pink, and not a lot of them were rooting for the little guy. What do you tell the fans who are listening to the radio on the way home about the job they did tonight? Because I haven't heard this building this loud in a long time.
Listen, I think Arthur Blank will be very happy that he opened up the roof before the game, because I'm not kidding. If it was closed, they would have blown the roof off. I'm not kidding. That's honestly how loud it was. I think I almost strained my hamstring celebrating, running down the sideline. Shonda's, you know, taking his shirt off and dancing, and I'm thinking, come, please, keep coming over the sideline. Let me be involved in this. You know, the rush of emotion, it's just so high. I mean, honestly, All I can say is the supporters were amazing. I hope a lot of them got a beer shower and they're not mad about it. I wouldn't have been mad about it. So it's just hard to describe, man. We everyone counted us out. We will be heavy underdogs again going into Miami, and we have nothing to lose. We're just going to play like we have nothing to lose.
I wouldn't bet against you. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Mike, you mentioned it was one of the best goals in club history. What do you have to say about that goal from John De Silva?
Top three in club history. And honestly, could go up on the list, depending on how the series and how the rest of the season plays out, in my opinion. I want to go back to something with Dax, by the way, just because I dug up a stat here that I think everyone will find very fun. I was not really joking with him when I said that he had Messi in his bag. I thought he played really, really well against Messi, as did Fortune, as did really the entirety of the Atlanta United midfield. Messi now, in league matches, has played 17 times this year where he's gone the full 90.
Hmm.
And against everyone other than Atlanta United, when he plays a full 90, he's 10-0-4. Against Atlanta United this year, 1-2-0.
Hey. So you say pressure, it's impossible to quantify, but I feel like it's firmly on Miami. What do you say? What do you say, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, completely. Yeah. You're playing with house money. You've been playing with house money walking into this series. Today, you felt pressure because it could have been the end. So there was definitely a different feeling today than there was last time in Fort Lauderdale. Last time in Fort Lauderdale, you were too tired to feel anything. Now, you go back to Fort Lauderdale, and we talked about it coming into this series. It was basically survive game one as best as you can, and honestly, you didn't even do that because you lost Brooks Lennon for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Steon Gregerson, you don't know. He was on the bench tonight, but you don't know if he's going to be back to start in this series. You didn't even get out of game one in a complete 100% picture, but you gained confidence and you didn't quit tonight, just like this team hasn't quit really over this past month and a half. And now you go back to Miami fully rested, not 100%, because you're missing one starter for sure, maybe another one, but you go back down there with an opportunity to knock out the best team in league history in their house where you've already won the season.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing with house money. Everybody in the world expects the team in pink to advance. And it's kind of fun to get to be the spoiler.
You're just sitting at the roulette table right now, and you just keep putting money on red, and it just keeps coming up in your favor. And, I mean, this team, you mentioned they lost Brooks Lennon. They lose Steon Gregerson. They concede 90 seconds into their match down in Miami. And you nearly get a result out of that match.
Yeah. Well, look, I think on the balance of the 180 minutes in this series, if we look at it honestly, I think it's been at worst for Atlanta, even maybe slightly tilted towards Atlanta, because I don't put a lot of value in the Miami goal tonight. That was a fluke play. I think Jason and I were talking about, you know, 7 or 8 times out of 10, that goal's not going to be given. It's going to be called, for impeding the goalkeeper, but whatever. Miami did create some chances, but they were mainly from distance. You had Messi in the first half making a run to the near post. That one was a little dangerous. But I think on balance for the series, it's been even. And, take the fatigue into account that Atlanta had to deal with in game one last Friday. If Atlanta were a more rested team, that could have gone completely the other way. And that was an Atlanta team that was not playing for penalties, as Tata Martino pointed out. That was an Atlanta team playing for the win. So, look, Miami is a historically good team, and fair play to them. And this is going to be a very, very tough test next Saturday to knock them out. But I think Atlanta United has been square with them pretty much through the extent of the series. And I thought statistically it was proven tonight Atlanta United is the better team.
I think the crazy thing about 2024 is we think back to last season, and Atlanta United did the same thing. They lost game one. They won game two at home. That one was a much more comfortable win over Columbus, who ended up going on to win MLS Cup. You went to Columbus in game three, felt like an underdog. You were the underdog. Columbus was the better team. It doesn't feel that way, even though it should in this game. You will be the underdog, no question. But the way the series has gone and getting to go back down there rested
and ready to go. And now all the pressure has flipped over to Miami again, even doubled down. It feels different going into game three. It feels like there's more outs there for Atlanta to advance. That doesn't seem right. As good as Columbus was last year, and that was one of the best teams that you've seen in Major League Soccer on the collective. When you look at this Miami team on paper, they've been the best team in league history. You look at their individual talent. You have guys who have done everything in the game. But I don't feel like looking ahead to next Saturday that Atlanta United can't look at that and see a way through. That's crazy that we're at the stage that you've taken the best team in league history. You're the 9 seed. You've had to do all this stuff on the road to even get here.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going into game three, and it's kind of like, yeah, we can go down there and win. So what?
That's the craziest thing, because this is the best team in MLS history points-wise, and at no point really have I felt like they have been clearly, absolutely outmatched. And there have been times where it feels like you're playing from a deficit, and it feels like, oh, here we go, like maybe something happens here, but then they find a way to respond. Mm-hmm. And they've done that effectively over these two matches. And Mike, that's to your point. Credit to you on that one. But as a proud partner of Atlanta United, Mose would like to say congratulations on a well-earned victory. As promised, Atlanta United's two goals mean tomorrow's Mose will be knocking $2 off all burritos and bowls. Atlanta, when we win, you win. So get to Mose and enjoy the bold flavor of your victorious $2 off a burrito or bowl. And Miami, since Mose and Atlanta United are such good sports, your team is welcome to take advantage of this delicious deal, too. Fantastic result here from Atlanta United. They force a game three. I want to ask these guys about Pedro Amador, but you got to wait a couple of minutes for me to do that. This is the full-time report on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's a victorious edition of the full-time report on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Your five stripes, 2-1 victors over Inter Miami. Tremendous effort here from Atlanta United. They get the win. They force the third leg down in Miami. That's going to be on the air next Saturday. We'll have that coverage here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The voices of Atlanta United will be back at least one more match. Maybe a little bit longer. But they did catch up with Jhande Silva, the hero of this one, our man of the match. Let's listen to that audio.
All right, Jhande, take me through your perspective of that game-winning goal, starting from when the ball was played to you.
Like I always said, every time I go to the pitch, I try to do my job. If I don't do it, at least I tried. And today I tried, and I helped the team.
I know you've battled a foot injury all season long. How hard has it been to stay on the field consistently?
It's hard, but I think sometimes we gotta. There's some rocks in our journey, and we try to avoid, so that's what I'm trying to be doing. I'm starting to feel a little bit better, and I think in life we just need to keep fighting, and that's what I'm keep doing.
What was going through your mind when Rob told you were going to go in?
As I said, it's my job. I'm a type of player to play football, to enjoy football, I was just excited, and as I said, I just did my job.
One of the most meaningful goals of your career?
Yeah, one of them. For sure, we can say that.
All the pressure is going to be on them now next Saturday. Do you guys feel confident knowing you can go in there as the underdog and just kind of let it all loose?
Yeah, we beat them there already, so okay. I know everyone's going to talk about Messi, but football is not only Messi, you know. There's 11 against 11, so we are men, they're men, so we're going to fight with them.
Congratulations, Jamal. Great
much,
work.
Thank you very much.
Monty called that one of the top three goals, potentially, as it stands, in Atlanta United club history. Jason, what has it meant to Atlanta? Just Jhande Silva, for him to come off of the bench in that situation, on that spot, plays 5 minutes and has that meaningful of a performance in just such a short, compact period of time.
Just getting him back. You've needed somebody off the bench who could impact the game from an offensive perspective, and just getting him back gives you that ability. He nearly scored in Fort Lauderdale. He barely missed a shot from distance. He gets the moment here, and it's the whole play that's so interesting, because the way it builds up, Maranchuk has multiple options when the ball's on his foot. He can go to goal from there, even though it's further out than Shonde's shot was. He has Saba making the run down the right, and Saba did a lot of hard running tonight that wasn't rewarded, but opened up space. He opens up space with that run. Miami can't crash into the middle.
He has Muyamba he can give it back to. He has Rios he can give it back to. But he picks out the right ball with the right weight on the pass to Silva. And Shonday doesn't lose his head in the moment. He buries it. This is a player who, at times, you expect so much more because you see the brilliance from him. Mm-hmm. And look, maybe we're being unfair. What he does, though, consistently, is he does show up in big, big moments and scores big, big goals for this club.
And it doesn't get much bigger than that. And look, they also got a very important contribution from somebody who we didn't have down in Fort Lauderdale. It's Ronald Hernandez. Fortunately, he was minding his diet. No food poisoning this time. And he goes on the pitch. And Mike and Jason also caught up with him after the match.
I mean, I guess for starters, what does this win mean to this team, especially coming in game one, having 3 games in 7 days, coming in and getting a result here in front of so many amazing fans?
This feeling is unbelievable. It's real meaningful for us because all the up and downs that we were through the whole season, we want just to do the right thing tonight. We want to win. First of all, for the fans that support all the way through, and for the people around, for the people that they are working behind the scenes, and for this beautiful team, especially.
Going in 1-0 at halftime, what was the message in the locker room heading up to the second half?
No, don't go all the way crazy. You know, like stay calm. We were doing amazing first half, just about details, composure, keep playing, that we were doing really good. And then don't lose the confidence that we are at home, we are in our stadium. So it was just about time and just creating the right chances to be back in the game.
I talked to you a little bit earlier this week about playing your game and not playing up to Miami. And you guys did that here today. I mean, how important is it to go out there in front of this stadium, in front of the fans, to be Atlanta United and not play to that opponent?
Things are easy when you know who you are, you know? When everyone is a piece of the whole team, and then you know your role, you got to do one thing at a time. And then that's what we did. If you see, there is no stars in this team. The biggest star of the team is the whole team. So, which for me is the right mindset for the guys, being humble, recognizing that, and just play as a team.
What was the emotion after that final whistle blew?
It was unbelievable. I will remember tonight for my life. We work for half memories like this, like tonight. So, and I'm really happy. To be honest, we need to enjoy this moment. You guys too. And then next week we gotta prepare and go again. Thank you.
Quickly, I want to give credit to Maddie from Soccer Down Here. She gave us that fantastic audio. Big thank you to her. Mike, how important was it for this back line to get Ronald back in? Just put it in perspective here.
Well, I think it's huge. I think Ronald has really been answering the moment many times this season, and there's even a little bit of a what-if aspect to this season. When Ronald suffered that injury that took him out for 6 to 8 weeks during the summer, now you wonder what could have been if he had stayed healthy. Want to clarify, by the way, it's not for certain that he had food poisoning or that it was a foodborne illness. In fact, we heard that some other players after the Miami match also took ill, so might have been a bug. But Ronald is a guy, I love this expression that Jason uses a lot. He's someone who will bleed for the shirt. He'll bleed for the club. And I think he's been very, very transparent with us that he has struggled, that he's had some moments, even this year, where he has not played up to the level that he wishes. But he always seems to bounce back and really, really play well for this club in the clutch. And I thought he was excellent tonight.
What I just implore people out there who are fans of any team, I know it's easy to get frustrated and disappointed and even angry when your team doesn't get results or your season doesn't go like you thought it would. But there are so many things in 2024 that I will honestly never forget about this club.
getting to know Ronald Hernandez this year and getting to really hear him speak about himself, mm-hmm. about the team, about how much he loves the city, loves this club, gives everything he has for it, really getting into a player's mind and him being willing to give that to us, it's been a gift. I mean, he's one of my favorite players that has ever played for this club because of that personality. There have been so many of those little things. I wrote a feature for SDH about Dax McCarty before the last home regular season game, and we both talked about silver linings in that. You know, everybody wanted this team to be first in the East, not ninth, but that doesn't mean the season is a failure. You know, Giannis talked about this. Like, there's only one champion. It doesn't mean that everybody else had a failure of the season. There's disappointment. Don't get me wrong. There's wanting the team to be in a better position. But you can't wash away all these little, beautiful moments like what we had tonight, what we had beating Columbus in the regular season, beating Miami down there earlier this season, the fight in Fort Lauderdale in Game 1. And I hope we've got at least one more beautiful moment next weekend.
And look, I want to look at this too. His partner on that fullback spot, Pedro Amador, 7 assists in his last 9 matches. He's been here. He's been wearing an Atlanta United shirt for 12 matches. And I don't think it's an understatement to say he has been the most important signing for this team this season. He has been an unbelievable contributor.
I'll throw Derek Williams into that discussion, yeah. Maybe.
If another tremendous
body of work this year. I mean, look. They didn't get all the signings right, but I think those two in particular, you're not going to a Game 3 against Miami if not for Pedro Amador and Derek Williams.
100%.
By the way, all 4 of the top seeds in the Eastern Conference are 1 loss away from elimination.
What did I tell you all season long about how good this Eastern Conference is?
Yeah.
People would look at point totals and be like, oh, the East isn't as good as the West. The reason why the point totals are lower is because the East is so good and so balanced that 1-9, there's not much of a difference between the two teams. We've seen it in this series. It's 2-7. 7, you know, went to Columbus and beat them. And Columbus has had the most successful run in MLS history over the last 18 months. And they lost at home in Game 1. This Eastern Conference is so good. Anybody can come out of it. Even Atlanta United.
Best of 3 series. It all comes down to this next Saturday pregame starting on Sports Radio 92.9 at 7 o'clock.
Star 94.
Or Star 94, excuse me. On Star 94 next Saturday at 7 o'clock. Kickoff at 8 o'clock. I liken this to a roulette table.
I'll give you a quick key.
Go ahead.
Don't get down 3-0 like you did in Columbus.
That's stupid. You know,
because remember, okay, it's a little bit different. Atlanta dominated Game 2 against Columbus last year.
Yeah.
After Columbus won a tight one in Game 1 up there, I think it was 1-0. Atlanta was down 3-0 in a blink of an eye. I don't see that happening this time, but you definitely want to avoid that because the one thing that Tata and Inter Miami are excellent at doing, when they get up by a goal or two, they're really good at closing up shop. So we'll see. But I'm glad we're going to have the chance.
They hit you with that deluge very quickly. But, look, it didn't happen in Game 1. It didn't happen in Game 2. And look, I liken this to a roulette table. Let's say we put it on red, spin it one more time.
All right.
Let's see what happens. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. Atlanta United, 2-1 winners over Inter Miami. Let's do it all again next weekend. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. This has been the Full-Time Report. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.